And I was talking with my Uncle Greg yesterday, and he knows, him and Haley both know way more about COVID-19 and things like that than I do. But he made this interesting point. He said, you know, COVID-19 is interesting because it's a low-level virus, which means it almost looks for a way to attack you. It just lies in wait until there's an opportune time to attack your body. And I think to some extent, that's kind of our way, even if we don't have COVID-19, that's kind of our experience, is that it's COVID-19 plus this, whatever this is, okay? And for me, it was COVID-19 plus church flood, okay? For some of you, it might be COVID-19 plus the struggling of a loved one or a couple loved ones, or COVID-19 plus the loss of a friend, COVID-19 plus the cancellation of our summer plans. And the thing is like for me, again, the first few weeks, I was ready to own this. But as it went on, I realized that I wasn't owning this as great as I thought I was. And that maybe you're not either. And so this morning, we pause our series on the wilderness in Exodus and Numbers that we have entitled Braving Belief, to have a time of reflection about the wilderness we most assuredly find ourselves in at the moment. Like our ancient ancestors, we are in a wandering of our own, exploring new territory and adopting practices that are new for many of us. For example, I didn't know that I could wash my hands as many times a day as I actually wash my hands. I want you to understand that I am a person that avoids wearing a mask. It has been recommended that I wear a mask to do lawn work. You know, so when I'm on my tractor or mowing the lawn, it's always been recommended for me to wear a mask because of the allergies that I have. But I refuse to do it. And not just because I have to smell my own breath, but because it's really hot in there, and when you wear safety glasses plus a mask, you can't see anything. Some of you are experiencing that. Now for you, it might be other things. It might be pulling out the sewing machine and learning how, trying to make a new and stylish mask for yourself. It may be simply eating a lot of meals at home. You're actually learning how to cook. It may be that you're learning how much money you save when you stay at home, kind of like I'm learning. But wherever you find yourself in the spectrum of disorientation or new orientation, we can all say that our lives have changed. And as is always the case, we want change to be for the good. We want change to be for the better. So with all of this in mind, and the fact that I myself have actually grown weary as time has gone on, I want to share with you three familiar passages that I hope and pray will enrich your faith and encourage you to brave belief in the God of this wilderness each and every day. And so three passages this morning really quick. The first one is Psalm 46, the one that Mom read to us. We want to reflect on this focal passage in verse 10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." A favorite verse for pausing, for thinking, for having that moment of devotion. Yet, the context of this passage is not so much grabbing a mug of coffee, going out on the back deck, finding that comfortable chair, and sitting there and being still and knowing that God is God. That is a great thing to do. But the psalmist speaks this passage here, the psalmist speaks that into a world of chaos. The first clue should be in verse 1, actually. The psalmist says that God is a very present help in trouble. a very present help in trouble. Now, I don't know which word jumps out to you. It might need to be present, that God is present with you in trouble. It might be help, that God desires to help you in trouble. Or just to be honest, it might be trouble. The fact that even if I am God's person, I'm still going to experience some trouble. And so this is just packed full of good reflection thoughts, good reflection material. The psalmist begins to describe what he means by trouble. And it has to do with a natural war between mountains and waters. Waters flood. We definitely know that. Okay? Mountains tremble. That is, earthquake. The psalmist seems to be saying that even when it seems as if nature is against us, there is a refuge of strength to which we can go. That even when it seems that nature is against us, there is a refuge for us. The psalmist describes Jerusalem, the city of God, where God dwells and provides life to the nations. For the psalmist, to behold Jerusalem was to understand that God was with his people and that God has accomplished mighty things. Sure, there would be time of natural disasters, even pandemics. And yes, there would be times where the nations would war against each other. And some world powers would actually cease to be. And in a world that strives for answers, explanations, reasons, cures, treaties, and deals, this message of the psalmist asks us to brave belief in a God who remains through it all, Rose's word, constant. And the message is to stop striving and rest in the exalted God. Verse 10, God is speaking. He says, I will be exalted among the nations. Yes, even how crazy they act at times, I will be exalted. And I will be exalted in the earth, even the chaos and disasters and unpredictability of it. I will be exalted. But being still, well, is difficult. But it is this posture of resting in the presence and provision of God that Jesus speaks about in Matthew 6, 25 and following. I'm just going to turn over there real quick. Matthew 6, 25 and following. Now, this may be one of those verses that you just really like, or it may be one of those verses that just are really annoying to you. And that's okay. We'll talk about that. Now, before we read the verse, let's be real for a moment. Let's just say the obvious before we get into the passage. And that's the fact that we have anxiety and worry. We do. It's probably why these passages exist, because God knows that we needed some passages to deal with our anxiety and our worry. You know, Jesus experienced anxiety and worry. You might recall that the night before he was crucified, he asked his disciples to pray with him. Luke records it that Jesus prayed so hard that he sweat, and those sweat beads became like blood gushing out. I mean, that's pretty intense prayer. I wonder what would have happened if Jesus would have invited his friends and said, hey, pray with me all night long here. Pray that I do not come into the time of trial. What's he saying? He's saying, I am worried about tomorrow. Well, what if they would have said, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Remember you said that, Jesus? Well, this night was a night of deep anguish And what we find is that in the Bible, when there are times of deep wrestling with what God wants us to do, that ends in confident resolve to do what it is God's calling us to do. And this is why it's important to speak of context when we're talking about the Bible. Because for everything, there is a season. And we need to be clear that we're matching what Jesus said to the context in which Jesus is saying it. So for those who wonder about the presence and provision of God in their lives, Jesus wants them to be assured of the confident resolve in which they can live, that they can truly trust in the Lord to provide for them. And so he says it like this: "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable? Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' For what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So just to be clear here, Jesus is talking about basic necessities. Jesus is saying that there is enough. And usually when there is not enough, it's because someone is panic buying because they think there isn't enough. I mean, have you been through the toilet paper aisle in the past, month and a half? But imagine what this image looks like when the world around us is diving into chaos and God's people, the ones braving belief, are actually stopping to consider the lilies of the field and looking at the birds, especially this time of year. Like he had to be talking in spring. I don't know. Because as life has slowed down for me, I have been able to enjoy the flowers in my yard, the things that I plant and take care of. Haley's mom gave Bren a couple bird feeders, and so we've hung those out. And the birds gather, cardinals, blue jays, some finches, other things that I don't know. But I find myself in the morning grabbing my coffee and going to look out the window to see what birds are there, watching them, being fed. These are the things that are reminding me that God is indeed with us, providing for us. We need to be deeply concerned. We need to be deeply concerned about finding God in the midst of anxiety, and less concerned about our panic purchases. The Bible says that God's people will be clothed in righteousness, that God's people will feast on his word, that God's people will drink the living water. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is portrayed as a new Moses, drawing the people of God out of the old legalistic ways and into a new law of sorts. Often he speaks from mountains and sustains people in the wilderness. And in our text, Jesus is speaking from a mountain in the wilderness to those who have chosen to follow him out there. And his message to them is that God will provide for you. God is with you. So please, please just be still and know that God is God. Our last passage, finally this morning, we come to a writing of Paul. It's one of his prison letters. Again, context is extremely important because what he says in our text, trying to encourage people, is rejoice. To find the joy in all circumstances, coming from a guy in a Roman prison. He says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I think this is what people are actually called to right now. I think this is what I want to be called to right now. Something that I'm actually tuning into as this quarantine or isolation drags on, and I try to fight my annoyance and impatience. Paul, the great list maker, is pretty good at making a list about how to handle a pandemic. How to handle a pandemic, Paul style. Number one, be reasonable. Be fair and sensible. Execute sound judgment. Next, be prayerful. Have conversation with God regularly. Let him know how you feel. You know, just in that kid story that Sue told, where the child actually speaks to the parent and says, "I'm really struggling with this." You know, sometimes vocalization helps relieve the anxiety that we feel. And so you can share with God how it is that you're feeling and what it is that you're feeling. Be reliant. Ask God to provide for you what you need. Be reliant on God. Be thankful. Acknowledge the good things. Always acknowledge the good things, even in the midst of trouble. Be thankful. And finally, be at peace. Now, this is really incomprehensible, Paul says, but in times of panic, this will protect you to seek the peace of God. So how to handle a pandemic, Paul style? Be reasonable, be prayerful, be reliant on God, be thankful, and be at peace. In Psalm 46, the psalmist talks about the presence of God being in Jerusalem, because that's where God said he would reside. But that has changed. God has a new temple, a new place of residence. Your body and my body is the temple of God. He lives with and in his people through the power of his Holy Spirit. This provides us with a way to see how we can display our belief in God, and it gives us a way to respond in times of great stress and panic. Paul would remind us to remember to draw close to God in times of imprisonment or confinement. For even when we experience these struggles and when we experience this confinement, God is still very much at work. In fact, right after this, you know this, he writes this. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. If there is anything, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I want you to notice the ending line of this passage. What you have experienced and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Was Paul being arrogant here? Or was Paul navigating his wilderness by braving belief in the provision and presence of God so that he could set an example for others who are going to go through their own wilderness experience? I believe Paul is teaching us here about the witness and influence that we have, especially in times of deep stress and panic. Are we approaching this pandemic, are we approaching this in a way that other people could mimic? And if they lived as we are living, would they experience the peace of God? Some days I'm sure are better than others for you, because they are for me. And that is why I want to take this moment to remind us all of the opportunity God has given us right now to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to that. To be still and know that I am God. Another way of rendering that is stop striving and acknowledge that I am God. Stop struggling and understand who I am. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. My prayer this morning is that something that was said provide you with purpose and direction as you brave belief this week in the wilderness that you have to navigate. God bless you.